I want you to understand something that is that many of us have as channelers. Early on in my channeling career, I really got clear instructions. I'm not to read anything that is metaphysical or channeled. So you might think my library at home would be just filled with metaphysical books. It isn't. And the reason is I'm not supposed to read them. Do you understand why that would be? I am a human being. I have no delete key in my brain. The things go in, they stay in. I don't want them spilling out during channel or Q&A or anything else. I want to try to keep it as pure as I can with what Kryon has said. So if you ask me about some things that I haven't read or some processes or whatever that I don't know about and Kryon hasn't talked about, it's going to be a very short Q&A because I won't have answers. And I'll just say, there's no information. Kryon has not given me anything, and I don't know about it. And there, it's funny, you might sit down and go, this guy knows nothing. I mean, because everybody knows about it. I don't read. So this is just one thing I wanted to let you know that so that you understand. Don't ask me about obscure things. I probably won't know. So I also told you a little earlier that Monica is here, and she has so much knowledge because she's read so many things that Kryon has said and done over the and working on the database. So she might also have some things that I have forgotten to add, and I give her permission to do this as well. So what we're going to do is walk around the room with a wireless microphone, and she's going to be the one who select whatever hands are raised, and I'll do my best, and we'll go for about 35 minutes or so.
Okay, so first question.
Hello. Can you provide an update, or can Kryon provide an update with Big Pharma? And what the status of that is.
Sure. Were you here yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. So you saw a little of it. And that was the Monsanto / Bayer suit on Roundup. This is the beginning. Now, Roundup isn't exactly, we're starting to call it inappropriate big pharma because there is some big pharma that is actually doing a good job and is very careful and has integrity, believe it or not. So we are very careful. But I know that because the last time we started talking about this, I had somebody from one of those companies come to me and say, look what we're doing. They call us Big Pharma, but we're aware and we're, you know, all this. So I want to be clear, it's inappropriate. That's not the pharma that we're taking for medicines, but it's close. And that is the Roundup, and Bayer is involved and Monsanto is involved. $800 billion suit because they knew it was causing disease and gave it anyway. So that's the whole thing. So right away, we're looking at a precedent. And the precedent is suddenly, and it seems sudden to me, that these bastions of money and products that we've always had, how long have we had Roundup? And how long have they known that it causes disease? And the answer is decades. Decades. But suddenly, now there is a what you call it, not of the atonement, but in that hero's journey that I went, is starting to show and matter, and they're having results. The next then thing I expect is going to be those kinds of companies who are giving us inappropriate medicines. I turned the TV on last night. I was tired. And I thought, oh, this would be nice to just have mindless things. So I forget what I was watching. But all the commercials, all of them, after 10 o'clock, were for drugs. And it got my attention, and pretty soon, it was absolutely hilarious. There's a pimple medicine whose side effects is death. And there's one for reducing the number of potential heart attacks. And the first side effect is heart attacks. I couldn't believe it. It played again, and I heard it again. The first side effect is heart attack. So they have to say these things under law, and they'll say them with a smile, and if you're not listening, you know, it's going to go five fast. What's going on here? This is just nuts and crazy, and that's what's going to start. You're going to see it start there. And that's going to be showing as a totally inappropriate marketing, all of that, and then it's going to go to, and what Kryon has said, the big ones. Those who have hidden cures in order to keep people sick for money until the amortization schedules are done. What they spent in research has to be amortized on the books before they can come up with the next one, even if it cures cancer or anything else. It's in the drawer until they get financially set to have it released. That is like killing people for money, as far as I'm concerned. Very inappropriate. It's been happening for years and years and years and years. Watch for that.
Next question.
I don't know if Cryon has spoke at all about immunizations, but I'm curious about anything that Cryon may have said regarding immunizations and autism.
Don't link them in the question. Although many want to link them, what only thing Cryon has said is this, is that immunization itself is not a bad thing. When we, and I, as a senior, I'll tell you there was, I forgot how many were in the for years and years we gave for how many diseases. It was maybe 7 or 8, maybe 11 or something. And it was the immunization cocktail, and we all took it as kids. And we didn't have any, there were no repercussions or anything else until they started adding. Now they're up to something like 27, 28, whatever, and suddenly we're starting to see, or think we see, some links, and one of them might be autism. And so what Cryon said is, stick with the originals. He said, and that is almost like saying, they were okay, but what you don't know is they react to each other. And this is not what the research is about. I don't know how much research has been. How many can you immunize for and vaccinate for in a row without them starting to somehow maybe react to each other in a way that nobody knows about and will find out about in 7 or 8 years, and it'll be on the news? Oh, by the way, these people got this or whatever because we put too many in the immunization. So Cryon has been clear that the first ones were fine, and there were no reactions that we know about. But suddenly, as soon as they started putting all these in, then we had troubles. Now, the link between that and autism, it looks like it might be connected. Cryon has not talked about it, but autism in general, Cryon has spoken about that there's going to be more of them, because they are precursors of human beings that are less linear. Now, that's interesting to me. And if you speak to those who work with autistic children, especially, the linearity, the ones who don't want to be touched or speak or not look at you or whatever, they're missing some of that linear things that the speech is linear. And we're learning to work with this because Cryon says this is us in future generations to some degree. We're going to lose more and more linearity, and instead we're going to embrace more and more energy communication. Now, that's all I can tell you at this point in time. And God bless the people who are working with the autistic kids, because there's a lot to do there. But there are so many things. I just talked to one gentleman. Was it Todd? Was that you I was talking to? Was it you? Okay. About this very thing. And is it your sister or?
Daughter.
Okay, is your daughter that's working with the autistic one? Yeah. And he was saying that she's one of those who does a very, very good job with them, which tells you, to me, and we know this, is that there is a consciousness that works better with autistics than other consciousnesses. And so what does that tell you? That they are relating to certain kinds of things that your consciousness, if you're tuned to that, then you can communicate. They all respond to music as a communication tool. Artwork as a communication tool. And the other thing is animals. And so that starts to make you look around. So how functional they are depends, you know, what that level of functionality. It's different because it's very complicated. But that also always intrigued me, is how that. And then the other one, can I just tell you? The experiments that were done years and years ago between one autistic child and a dolphin that was made into a special, that I don't know you can get anymore because it was so many years ago. And the reason I saw it is because it started, I believe, with a dolphin at SeaWorld, where I live in San Diego. And it was about an autistic child and a dolphin's connection, because somehow they discovered that the child was hooked in some way to the dolphin. And so they started saying, well, how hooked could it be? And so they had tests, and they threw things into the pool for the dolphin to fetch, where there was a circle or a square or little plastic pieces. And then they would ask the child who was in another room to select among all of those objects which one the dolphin chose. And the rate that was that she got right was something like 80 or 90%. It was astonishing. There was a connection between them. Now, Jeff, you're going to like this one. What happened was a dolphin got moved to SeaWorld in Florida. So they stopped. She couldn't do it anymore. But somebody had the idea, would it still work long distance? And it did. So she's in San Diego, dolphin's in Florida, dolphin goes and gets the symbol, which is a square or whatever, and she's still picking, and it's still 80%. So that tells you now there's long-distance communication, whether it's an entanglement or whatever that is, it's in the field. It's not what they expected. That's autism. It's not, there's a lot more there than we know. It's just scratching the surface. So although it's difficult in a linear world, I think there's a tremendous expansion there, almost a savant if we let it and we study it. And I hope we understand more about it so that they're more comfortable.
Wonderful. Next question.
I think I remember Cryon saying that he helped with the ley lines of the Earth. There's been some scientific experimentation recently where they said that the substance in the ley lines is conscious. Is this anything that
it's very different but related to what Cryon has talked about, because when we were in Europe, Cryon specifically talked about portals and certain kinds of energetic lines. Ley lines is something that people don't understand because they think that they're there forever. They're not. They move. Cryon has discussed the fact that what a ley line is, an energetic line. Then we also found something else that was really interesting when we were in England, is that they often follow pre-existing streams and waters that are now aquifers. So you'll have castles that line up, for instance, in Europe, and they'll say, isn't that interesting? That's a ley line. And you realize, well, it used to be a river. So there's energy that follows water as well. We didn't really expect that, but we can see that. We have a little special coming up called The Energies of the Earth, and it's going to be free. And if you will watch my site, Monica and I presented this, and I'm still editing now. It'll be a free video, and we're talking about the grids, the magnetic grid, the crystalline grid, ley lines, portals, all of these kinds of things that we'll probably give you a little more information. But specifically, the thing you asked for is and the consciousness was not from Cryon.
But if you can let people know, Lee, think it's might be worthwhile to those who are newly coming onto this information. Cryon first appeared on the planet, as Cryon said, as part of a grid-changing entourage. Now, do you want to explain more about that? It's related to the magnetic grid, and it was a specific purpose that the grid-changing entourage came for, and then this is part of the partnership with Lee.
It is. There's probably like more information that I spend time on, but you realize that there's been proof now that the magnetic grid reacts to consciousness, and consciousness reacts to the magnetic grid, and that has come from the HeartMath Institute and also in Princeton. So this is where they got the idea that consciousness is energy, and now it's been proven. So what Cryon said he came to the Earth for originally, until about 2003, he said they were moving the magnetic grid, and it would move more in 10 years than it had in 100. Now, what that means, move, that means with a compass, you can measure it. That's would be easy to confirm, and it has been confirmed. This was the time, and you remember or not, when the whales were beaching themselves. You remember all that time? That happens because the whales use magnetite. They have compasses in their body, in their brains, basically. So do birds. That's how they migrate and follow the grids, magnetic grids. So with a compass, if you take and move the grid and the whale doesn't know it, and suddenly they're hitting the beach instead of the open ocean, do you see how that could be? Well, it only took, I think it was like 6 or 7 years before that stopped happening. But while it was happening, it was really concerning because we had no idea why that was. Now they understand it because they understand how they navigate. But this is one of the things Christ said. He's moving the grid. Then you might be interested to know that all airports have numbers on their runways. Are you aware of that? Those are compass headings. So they're not random numbers. So that means if the compass changes, those numbers have to be repainted. And the FAA says they can be within, I think, a degree and a half or two and still be accurate. But when it moves past that, they must be repainted. And so if you'll check out, you can be on Google, how many runway numbers have been repainted in the last decade or so? And the answer is most of them. Because the grid has moved. So this is what Cryon said. And it's moved faster. There were some who were saying it was moved so fast, they expect, and you might have heard this, an actual grid flip, which has happened in history. But that Cryon says that's not what was up. So, bottom line, Cryon arrived to move the grid. Why? He said because consciousness can now be elevated if we pass 2012. The alignment of the magnetic grid helped with evolved consciousness.
And then to continue the discussion of the ley lines, they're created from human consciousness.
That's what her
the
question
is. The energy of humans in a particular area, particularly if it's a focused intent, creates a consciousness that's imbued into the earth, the dirt, or the waters of the river and the lake. Yesterday, I talked about a 3,000-mile songline in Australia that tells the story of the Seven Sisters. Is it possible that the energy of that storytelling of the profound creation story has an effect on that area of the land that is not felt elsewhere? I believe the answer is yes. Then Cryon also says, over time, some of these ley lines will change. Some will become amplified, some will be less so. Question, when you walk into a stone circle, what is it that you're feeling? And Cryon says you are picking up the energies of the ancestors that originally created those areas. Why would such a system exist? Could it be that if you had wisdom that you want to have your other generations pick up from you, you could leave it in this way? We've often heard about those that call on the wisdom of the ancestors. What is the mechanics for that? What is the process of that? Here we have another example that Cryon shows us. There is a mechanism and a system for benevolent help, and we see it operating and coordinating through the grids of the earth, through the ley lines and the portals. And we had a channel last night about the nodes and the nulls and how this is now giving us a push to enhance our consciousness and bring new ideas and new inventions. So there's a mechanics there involved. And what I love with Cryon, one of the things Cryon says about the magnetic grid is that this is the grid of communication. It's the engine that drives delivery of information communication. And I love that. Magnetics was always on the planet. When you look at astrology and the study of the effects of the position of the planets and stars on us, it's through the magnetics that that is being delivered. So everything you study, you realize that it's all connected, all threads.
And also going back to your original question, and because I'm remembering things, a lot of people think ley lines are actual static and they're part of the earth, and now we realize that some of them are consciousness, and which is the answer is yes to you. But the other one that I'm now remembering, and I don't even think you knew about, is I worked with a, he wasn't called a spiritualist, it was something else in Colorado years and years ago. And he talked to me about the ley lines, which represented the hunting trails of the indigenous. And he said those were ley lines. And I asked him, why would they be ley lines? And he looked like to me like I was nuts. And he said, for hundreds of years, that's where the animals were. And that they became the ley lines for the ancestors, and then for the new ones, and they all knew where they were. And so there's a really good example of a conscious ley line. And then the aquifer is another kind of ley line, which would be a ley line that followed the water.
Next question. Oh, a very strong hand there, Joel. So I'll come up to you.
Can you comment about the destruction of the forests that is going on and how that will...
You know, the destruction of the forest has always been going on, especially in places like Brazil. We're paying the price, already paying the price. That's one of the things that I'm seeing, and Crian has not mentioned, but in an overall way, Crian says the inappropriate things that we are seeing and doing will come to an end, because we'll know better. And that is the evolvement that he's speaking of. An evolvement that has us more connected to the planet. This is one of Crian's pleas, P-L-E-A, pleas. He said, the first time I ever went to the United Nations, he said there was two things that he said. They haven't been worked on at all. They haven't been implemented. But he said to those who were listening at the UN, he said two things would help you. Now, this was in, I forgot what year it was, in the 90s. Number one, he said there should be an indigenous council of wisdom, non-voting indigenous council of wisdom for the United Nations, because they have what you don't have here, basically, at the UN, is what he was saying. The plea is a return to Gaia. We don't have it in any of our main religions. There's no Gaia spoke, you know, of anything that they talk about in any major religion. But in every single belief system of the indigenous, it's absolutely ingrained and part of what they believe. We lost it. That was one of the things. The other things you might be interested in that Crian said that first time, when he said he pleaded with the United States to tell everything they know about ETs. Isn't that interesting? So that at some level, we would be ready to have the kind of information that is now being taught without everybody running and screaming and thinking we're absolutely nuts. Now, that happens anyway. But those were very interesting, because that was a long time ago. Those inappropriate things, especially in the treatment of Gaia, Crian says, as we start to smarten up, we will demand they stop, and they will.
Next question, the lady over here.
I've been studying the Course in Miracles for about 5 years, and I've been listening to you about the same amount of time thereabouts. The Course teaches that this is all an illusion, that we projected this out because of our guilt of we thought we separated from God, and that God doesn't recognize the illusion, and so therefore God doesn't know we're here, God doesn't listen to our prayers. And I'm having a hard time reconciling.
You know, really endorse the Course in Miracles and that particular part of it. I haven't really heard that strongly before. That whole idea of an illusion, the whole idea that God does not recognize the illusion, that is a metaphor for our 3D low consciousness that God is not part of. And we are trying to get into, out of the illusion of 3D, into a truth. And the truth is that communication with a multidimensional field that's the creator, a communication with our soul, that's the truth. All the other stuff that's illusion, and part of that illusion is guilt and sin and judgment and all of that, that's our 3D human illusion. God isn't part of it, and they're absolutely right. It's Course in Miracles. I think is right on the money. Now, because it's older, it often works in metaphors, and you have to look for them, and now we're just speaking these kinds of truths now. God knows our name. God loves us. There's no question about that. Absolutely no question. As far as this illusion, this is what keeps us from God. They're right. And that illusion is something that we learn. I learned it from my parents, and they did the best they could with me in all integrity and everything else, to take me to church and give me the illusion. And that was, they believed it. And the illusion was that God was dysfunctional. and that there was a war in heaven and a fallen angel called Satan, and I better behave myself. That's an illusion. That's a children's story. I'm sorry if you're listening to this and I've offended you. That is it. But, I mean, think of it. The creator of the universe is so dysfunctional that he would judge your kids and send them to hell and torture them forever because they didn't do something or learn about something that happened 200,000 years ago. That's not right. That's the illusion that we have. And we're now breaking out of it. That's why I like the Course in Miracles.
Okay, next question.
Hi, what does Kryon say about life in the inner earth and the portals to get there?
This is also a metaphor. And if you start taking some of these things absolutely literally, you're going to be disappointed someday that there is no city in the inner earth. But there really is. And that city might be the essence of Gaia. That city might be all of that which Kryon says is multidimensional life beneath the ground. He even said one time there's life in rocks. And all of this is a metaphor that says Gaia is alive. Not only that, if you go to Mount Shasta, they'll talk about Telos. Now, Telos is supposed to be a city in the mountain underneath. That is not literal either, according to Kryon, but that is what is there in an etheric way, because there are those that never left this planet, because that's a node, and we talked about that last night. So to answer your question specifically on how to get there, what that metaphor is and what you're asking is, how do you get in connection with all of these things that seem otherworldly but that are not, that are outside of the illusion? Is it possible that there are life forms who know who we are in the forest, under the earth? The answer is yes. There is multidimensional life everywhere. In this last little television show I did with Monica, I reveal the first time I ever saw the divas of the forest. Now, that is crazy talk to many. But I saw them in Tasmania and realized for the first time that there is life beyond life. And so the metaphors are given us. In fact, most of Scripture is in metaphors. Quatrains of Nostradamus in metaphors, because it's the best they can do to give us information that seems too strange and too wild. So getting in touch with those beneath the earth, or getting in touch with the city and the mountain, or any of these things, metaphors for getting out of the illusion and finding the true essence of a multidimensional soul, which is part of a life force of everything, including the field, including each other. When you start, yes, ma'am. Is this the second question?
And the underground space stations. I forgot to throw that in.
That Kryon has not spoken of, but I still think that is a metaphor, too. If we have come from space, if we have come from the stars, there's got to be authorities and figures and stations and ships and all that, but a benevolent, for instance, a node in a null still has the benevolence of the Pleiadians. And they were here, and they're still here. So you might find that, for instance, in Uluru, but not what the literal translation is that you're actually saying with the words. And Kryon said, be careful you don't literalize the metaphors that are here, because you can spend a lot of time looking for things that mean something else.
Okay, next question.
Kryon had talked about possible instruments coming to see these multidimensional energies. There was a talk of a concave plasma lens. Has there been any updates on that, any research?
No.
Next question. No.
No, not next question. What Jeff is talking about, as Kryon says, is almost an invention that's going to be as important as discovery of the wheel. It's going to be kind of far away. There's going to be, like any other kind of invention, the discovery that that is possible because of some things that tweak the science in a quantum way, they'll start a search. The actual invention is the ability to see quantum fields. That would let us see gravity, for instance. That would let us see the magnetic grid, for instance. All we see now is the results of it. We have instruments that'll show it's there, and we can play with it. But we never really have actually seen the grid. It's a multidimensional, they want to call it a quantum field if you want to. But if that invention existed and when it comes, as soon as they turn it on a human, they'll see our Merkaba. And that's going to change everything. Do you see how that would be? That's going to change everything. That's our sacred vehicle. It's going to take a while. But I expect to have it tweaked. And what I mean by that, Tesla, in the 40s, in his workshop in Colorado, had things take off and hit the ceiling. And there's pockmarks in the ceiling. I don't know if his workshop is still there or not. It used to be a museum. And you can see the pockmarks in the ceiling where stuff took off and hit it. He was working on massless objects, which is what Cryon said we can do. We can alter mass. We've just taken a look at the rules so far. We didn't realize we can alter them. We're just studying the rules. And he was playing with it and realized, part of his frustration, he couldn't get to first base with it because he didn't have the equipment. He didn't have the precision. He was a man before his time. But you see how we get to see it and go, wow, I'd like to know more about that. So it's kind of like tweaked our interest in massless objects and how they can be done because he was doing it. That's what I'm talking about. So I think that science is going to start seeing and pursue that until we get that invention. It's not just going to occur. It's probably going to be developed.
So I know Cryon has said that some of us have been here since the beginning of Earth and even watched the formation of Earth. And then I think that he may have gone a step further and said that some of us may also be Pleiadian. Does that mean that we have just gotten the memories from the Pleiadians, or have some of our souls actually been Pleiadian? And if so, why would we need to go through a shift more than once?
Okay, all of these questions, and I love the questions, thank you very much. They deserve a lot more explanation, but I'm going to say, first of all, be careful, a soul is not a human. So a soul is not linear. A soul is part of the creative force. It's a piece of God. It's part of God. And Cryon has made this very, very clear. A soul is not a group of things off to the side. It's part of that which we call God. So a soul of any kind probably has been here as long as God has been here. That's before time. Ever said, forever in both directions. Always was, always will be. So of course we watched the Earth form. We probably watched the universe form. We probably watched multi-universes form. Why would we come in and do what we do? This is one of the biggest questions, I think, ever. We do it because the love of God and the creative is with us, and we want to continue coming in for the purpose of changing the vibration of a planet. If it can be done with free choice, something happens. It changes the vibration of the galaxy. That brings the whole galaxy closer to the creative source. There's something there. Can I tell you that as much as I've ever tried to answer this, I'm still not satisfied? Because every time Cryon gives me the picture, all I hear is music. And Cryon has said, there's a tune playing. And when you're not here and you get to the other side, you know the lyrics. And the lyrics explain everything. And so things are being kept from us, obviously. But as soon as you pass the veil and go home and you're part of God and that soul, you know it all and you can hardly wait to get back. And that, to me, that doesn't even make sense. You know, I've had a hard time on the planet. I don't want to go back. He says we stand in line to go back. And that's, of course, the wisdom of God. That's the best I can tell you that doesn't really make that much sense. But that's why we do it. We have been Pleiadian, of course we have. We've probably been Arcturian and Sirian. If there is intelligence and consciousness on other planets, we probably have maybe even participated in those as well. We've been here forever. So here we are on a new planet, Earth. We tell people your Akash is fairly limited to Earth. However, I've talked to many who are having memories of another place looking a little different, in a whole other scenario, and I know what's going on. Many have said, is it proper to go there? Well, everything is proper. You can do anything you want to, but Cryon says, you know what will help Earth the most? Stay put and grounded, and try to help those around you. He said, you can get caught up in studies of the of any of these strange things and never help a soul. That's another thing that Crian has been very, very specific about. How are you helping Earth with what you're doing? He said some esoteric people get spinning in esoterics. And they spin to such a degree that they become odd and strange to everybody around them. And they're proud of it. They're proud of it because this keeps others from bothering them while they spin in esoterics. The spinning in esoterics is, you know, is when the energy is this and the energy is that, and I'm here, and you know, where's God today, and what am I going to do, and I want to read all these books. And then finally Crian comes along and says, and how have you helped the earth today? By being a hermit, by not showing your love, by not being normal. Who's going to talk to you today that needs to know that there's more here, there's benevolence here, there are things to do here, there's healing here? How are you helping? And the answer is, you're not. Now, that's different from an old energy where you really were shielding yourself from the planet, shielding yourself from all the crap, to today when you're asked to open yourselves, be normal, and show people love, because there's a new energy here and they're going to get it. And they are. I've had so many stories. The difference between the old and the new energy. So many stories. I was on an airplane years and years ago when Crian first came into my life, in the honeymoon section of my life, with Crian just appearing, been there, channeled for a number of years. This was so great. I'm in an airplane, and the guy says, what do you do for a living? And I say, I channel Crian, magnetic master from the great central sun. And he was a born-again Christian minister. I learned quickly. He yelled at me for 4 hours. People around us were angry at him, and I kept pointing to him. And I finally said, I know this has really upset you. I'm sorry. I said, but isn't it great that we can love God in our own way? And he said, no, you're evil. It showed me something. It showed me the power of bias, that even though he was a born-again Christian minister in love with Jesus, he was taught that I was not, and therefore I'm evil. So that's a bias. I believe he was fine. He was okay. But his bias got to him that day, you know. And I look at him and I say, I'm sorry you're having a bad day, basically. It didn't affect me. It did to the fact that I shut up from then on. When somebody says, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm an author. And they say, what do you write? And I say, children's books. I got three of them. They're Indigo. And then we can talk about Indigo Kids forever and then never know that I'm the occult guy. I'm not, but that's what they would think. All right, that's the old energy. Now, I'm sitting there trying to be as careful as I can on an airplane, and somebody will sit down, and you're going to on an airplane 4 or 5 hours or maybe more, if you're next to each other in some row, you're going to be sleeping and drooling and everything else on this person. So you're going to want to, hello, how are you? And you learn a little bit about them. And I'm still, the shields are up. Well, I'm an author and this, and I'm trying to obfuscate the thing so I don't have another episode, you know, from the guy in the airplane years before. And they finally dig it out of me. You know, what are you doing? And so many times it'll be, wow, I'm interested in that stuff. And you go, you are? Yeah. You see, I mean, I had my sister. She was this and that. And she had this experience. And off we go. There is so much interest now. And instead, they used to roll their eyes and run the other way and call you names. I'll tell you, this is part of what I'm seeing changing on this planet. Because I've been doing this for so long, I've got a bias. And the bias is hide out and don't talk to anybody because they won't like you when they find out what you do. We have one more question.
When you were in Boston, you talked about the spark. Would you mind just giving a brief synopsis?
It's a good way to end. Yes, there. Crian has identified that point at which we have full realization that there's something better, something more, something bigger than ourselves or what we were taught. and he's called it the Spark. And what I liked about that particular channel is that it went into another one, and there was another, and he talked about the Sparks, and I think it was in Azores. It's a really good explanation. It's almost electricity goes through you. When you have an awakening, it's almost like, there's more. And you start seeing things in a light you never did before, and there's hope, and there's benevolence, and there's caring, and there's love that you never expected in any system that was ever taught to you, that comes with you when you're born. Part of your soul, not part of a system, not exactly. It's just there. That's the Spark. And in fact, Crian's going to channel about it tonight. Thank you. He just told me. Crian's in my head. Because it is so important that we understand and realize that we have this ability right now to sit in the chair and truly, if we get out of the way, to analyze, is there more? And everything we're looking at says, yeah. And then instead of looking at it and saying, well, is it evil? Is it negative, like we were told? And the answer is, it's just the opposite. The Spark is that realization, self-realization, that there's not only something more, but in your soul that belongs to you, that's the peace of God, that is your essence, there is the beauty of the Creator. And everything is possible. That's the answer.